At this time last week, we were just receiving the news that a ministerial reshuffle had commenced. Among the changes, Glenfaber and Peel MHK Tim Crookall returns to the role of Infrastructure Minister, a post he's held twice already in this administration. Among his first actions was pausing the rollout of the 20-mile-per-hour scheme, and he's pledged to work on his department's relationship with local authorities. Well, Mr Crookall joins us live in the studio this morning. And Mr Crookall, before we come on to talk about your role in general, I know you wanted to just put out a little bit of a traffic update.
Yeah, good morning. Just very quickly, on my way in this morning, I noticed the pedestrian crossing opposite McDonald's there. The lights don't seem to be working, so for drivers, please be aware. Obviously, there's children going up to Ballacabeen and other schools, and that crossing, it might not be working still, so just please be careful for pedestrians crossing across there. Children and parents, obviously, but mainly children, I think, this time of the day.
Yeah, busy route Thank at you. This time. So, Minister, a role you are familiar with, of course, Infrastructure Minister. What was your reaction when you got the call asking if you'd take it on again?
Surprised because of the speed that it all happened, to be honest. But, I'm delighted to be back in the department. I asked to go in there in 2001 after the election. And I say the speed that everything happened last Monday was a bit of a surprise to everybody, I think, except probably the chief. But again, I'm delighted to have the opportunity to go back.
Now, one of the first things that you highlighted was pausing that 20-mile-per-hour scheme. What is a pause? What exactly does that mean? How long is that pause going to be in place for?
So, obviously, there was some legislation done along with that to put it into place. To pause, it just means at the moment we're just having a look at the legislation to make sure whatever we do with it, rescind it, stop it, do part of it, whatever, that we can do that legally. And the officers are looking at it this week. And hopefully by the end of this week or very latest Monday next week, we'll know exactly what we can and can't do without changing any legislation. But hopefully there won't be any legislation to change. We'll be able to just do or don't do what I've asked to do, not to do.
So what is it you want to do?
At the moment, just stop it all completely. There's been so much angst over this, the way it's been handled, you know, whether it was starting to put poles in when things hadn't been agreed yet and all sorts of things, or just not listening to the public and local authorities. I've never known so much anger over something go on for so long. And I absolutely do think it's been badly handled by quite a lot of people. And I start this Friday, I think, is my first meeting with local authorities. I'm down at Castletown Friday afternoon. And I'm not only to talk about this, but lots of other things as well that they have issues with. But my first meeting is Friday with Castletown.
There was an implementation plan that went through Tynwald in May last year. You were among the members who voted in support of that. If you're not in support of it, why did you vote for it?
Something had to be done, and this goes right the way back to, it's a safety issue more than anything, and that's why it was done. And it was basically, the way it was brought forward was it's an all or nothing, and it's easier to do nothing. Well, it's not easy to do nothing. It's easier to do all of it, so at least you know that the schools and places like hospitals, doctors, surgeries are safe and got that area around them. Going back 5 years or more, in Anne Corlett's case, Anne Corlett started this with her area in Douglas around the five schools. So she wanted a 20-mile-an-hour area that encased those. And we're going to look at doing that and going back to what Mrs. Corlett wanted and her constituents wanted. I think 77% of those had a view on it, said they wanted this. Also, one of the other meetings I had was with Speaker Watterson and the former minister, Dr. Hayward, who wanted a 20 around the school. And before you know it, the whole of Port St Mary's made 20, when actually that wasn't the conversation that we had at the time. Now, I'm not saying that was their fault, but that's what they got the whole of Port St Mary. The minister, the former minister, was obviously happy enough with that because she didn't do anything about that. But again, I've had conversations with people. I've had, you know, why did we get this? We didn't want it in the first place. So again, I'm a great believer in the towns and the villages belong to the local authorities. Speak to them, listen to them, and basically, if we can, give them what they want, not what we want to do.
So in terms of a 20-mile-an-hour scheme in residential areas, potentially there could be something then. If you mentioned Anne Corlett's idea, potentially coming back to that somewhere down the road.
Yes, and I've had representations from one of the local authorities up north that are very keen to see something happen, but they're also keen not to lose roads that were actually put in with the scheme, if you like, some of the main roads. So they don't want to lose those. So I just want to make sure, because if they want something, as far as I'm concerned, if it makes sense and it's safe, you know, they can have it. But if they don't want it, don't force it on people.
You mentioned when you were appointed as well, the Local Government Amendment Bill, some of the concern that that's caused among the local authorities. There's been a lot of concern about one clause in particular. I know on this week's House of Keys paper, it's due to be that bill moved into your name. What are your thoughts on the bill?
Again, I think a lot of it, Clause 5, you mentioned that, well, not by Clause 5's name, but That was brought in as a private member's bill by Laurie Hooper to start with, then added into the bill. You've seen the angst again from local authorities about that. There is actually good reason to do that, but there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding around that and why it's not being done. So again, I want to talk to local authorities, make sure they explain it, understand it, and we explain it properly, and then take it on from there. There is a good reason. If, and I'll use civic amenity sites, if a civic amenity site has been run by five local authorities and one says they don't want to pay, but the others do, then this will say, okay, we'll consult with you. We will then go back to Tynwald, and then only if Tynwald say, we will impose this on you because it's only fair because the other four are paying. But it just makes sense. But it's not going to force anybody to do anything that they aren't doing or weren't doing in the first place.
Obviously, having been in this role previously in this administration, you'll have dealt with the local authorities before. What was your relationship like with them during that time?
I think it was fairly good. Yeah, I do. I think it's fairly good. And if I'm honest, the toughest one was probably my own local authorities, but over in the West. But yeah, I think it was fairly good. And I've had lots of emails from people and town clerks and that saying, you know, good to see you back and look forward to meeting you.
And we asked listeners for questions for you this morning, and we'll come on to some of those in a few moments. But one of the topics that came up most was road maintenance. Do you think more does need to be done to keep the island's roads in a good condition?
Yeah, it could always be done. It's not perfect. Of course, it's not perfect. What the problem we have, and somebody mentioned it a while ago, and I mentioned it 3 years ago and even 5 years ago when I first got in, you know, going back years ago, we had sort of 250 or 300 workers in the DOI. No matter how much machinery and the best machinery you give them, if you're now down to sort of 80 people working on the roads and that, short of getting contractors in to do all the rest of the work, we can't keep up with everything. We're doing our best, and the guys out there on the road are doing their best. They're doing what they've been asked to do. So, you know, we thank them for doing that. But if anything's not getting done, that's down to us, A, for not having the extra staff to do the job, or, you know, having the materials, whatever the case may be. But we're trying to get there. And it is prioritising at all. But if people see potholes or whatever, please use the app or please get online and let us know about them. If we don't know about it, we can't fix it. And also, it is right, if we don't know about it and a car gets damaged, you know, you can't come to us. If we know about it, then it's down to us to fix it. And the guys are pretty good. If a pothole is reported, we'll send somebody out, we'll have a look at it, and we'll get round to it as soon as possible. Once we know about it, we'll try and get it fixed.
Now, another issue you'll have come across in your previous time in infrastructure will be the issues with air traffic control at the airport. We heard recently from a former air traffic controller who talked about the toxic work culture there. Is that something you've experienced before?
I've not experienced it. I've heard about it, and I've certainly spoken to Miss Scott, and I should be meeting her as soon as possible. We had a conversation at the back end of last week, and you know, trying to get a time between her daily routine and mine is quite awkward, but we will get that done hopefully this week, and we'll move that on from there, because it's absolutely important. Although she's no longer at the airport, if she's got any concerns, we need to know about them and just see, A, that hopefully they've been stopped if they were or still are going on, and B, they don't happen again.
So what's your plan to tackle those issues?
Well, it depends what they are, because I don't know what they are. I mean, yeah, there's all sorts being... I'll wait till I speak to her to find out exactly what they are. But she's not the first to mention them. Let me put it that way as well.
Now, of course, the Liverpool ferry terminal as well, another topic you'll be very familiar with. We heard from the former minister about some of the ongoing issues there last week. How are you going to address the issues there?
Are we talking about the finance issues or just...
The finance issues, also the mooring lines and the various issues that have been there.
The mooring lines are obviously an engineering issue that needs... And I think, as far as I know, I did speak to Brian Thompson very quickly on Friday about another issue, but he didn't mention it, so they're either dealt with now or being dealt with. And the finance issue is more of a treasury issue as the major shareholder. And again, that's a conversation I need to have as soon as possible. It's just trying to find the time this week to catch up, get up to speed with most things. But I will speak to the Treasury Minister or one of his officers who's involved, because he's obviously got the budget on his plate and coming up very shortly.
I've mentioned various different areas of your department. We'd probably be here all day if we went through everything in your department. But there are lots of competing priorities. What is your number one priority?
Crikey, at the moment. It's just trying to make good what is wrong with the place. The department, I mean, you've just said it there, Sean. The department is too big. In fact, I was just talking on Friday to one of my colleagues, you know, going back years, whether it's 2010 when they got rid of Dolgy and that. It's like, where should we put this? Where should we put that? DOI, or what DOT as it was at the time and that. The department, and I said this 5 years ago when I started there, the department's too big. It's in the wrong place down here at the sea terminal, and it needs sorting. The chief minister, when he went in 3 years ago to stand in when when he moved, I think when in, I can't remember, I think it was when Chris Thomas moved out and before I went in again, he said at the time he wanted the department looking at, and at the moment we've got rid of one part of the department, but there are other parts. Well, the whole department needs looking at, but there's one that's gone, so we need to carry on looking.
Now, Minister, let's look at your time over the last 4 years, sort of in and out of Comin. You've resigned twice from this administration. The last time was just over 4 months ago when you were Minister without portfolio. You cited conflicts of interest over the North and West Area Plan that, of course, was defeated in Tim Warden. You also said you weren't happy with the transport strategy. So what were the issues you had with that strategy?
I think they were focusing, the way I read it, Ben, the way I read the transport strategy, it was looking and aimed at the wrong sort of thing. Safety first is paramount to me, and as I've said with some of the officers and other people that I've spoken to, there are issues, certainly over in the West, as you well know, where accidents and incidents take place, and I don't believe we're doing enough to make sure they don't happen again. That is a discussion. I've had emails, conversation with some of the officers about how they do it and why they do what they do at the moment. I'm not convinced still, and I need to have those conversations face-to-face and with the police and other people who have made representation to me in conversation that it's not good and they're not happy. And in fact, the fire brigade as well, going back to one incident some years ago on the switchback, somebody from the fire brigade said to me, you guys need to stop this and make sure it doesn't happen again. And nothing gets done. And when I ask, they go, the way we do things, the way we measure it, it doesn't need anything happening to it. But I'm not happy with that.
Do correct me if I'm wrong. Did you not, though, as Minister previously of DOI, sign off on that strategy? And the now former Minister, Michelle Hayward, said that actually there were very few changes between you signing it off and her taking it to Tim Ward. Your response to that?
There were changes, Ben, and it wasn't something I was going to raise this morning. I would have raised again at another time because I think the timings, and I think Dr. Hayward was wrong. I think Dr. Hayward was wrong in what she said. I can't quite remember now. But what I signed off on was at the start of the strategy, and I certainly didn't see the end papers, and I'm certainly not happy with what was in it. And if I'm wrong, and if I signed off on the end strategy, I'll apologise, but I'm very sure I didn't sign off, because the copy that Dr. Hayward gave to me has got comments in it and question marks and all sorts from me that weren't obviously answered.
But you're not entirely certain about whether you did or didn't sign off?
I don't think I signed off on that. It was started with my time. And there were bits and pieces in there that I never knew were going on and all sorts of things. But officers are left to get on with paperwork and organise things. But I, as far as I'm concerned at the moment, as far as I remember, I did not sign off on the completed strategy.
So what exactly has changed then with that strategy in the last 4 months so that you feel you can now come back into Comin?
Not a lot. I'm there. I can now go back and look at it again and if needs be change some of the things in there, because I think I was the only one that voted against it at the end of it. But I feel that strongly about it from a safety point of view, that we are looking in the wrong place at some of the things. And even if I agreed with the rest of it, which I didn't, because I think in places it was quite fluffy, if I can use that word, we're trying to get people out of cars and onto buses and public transports, going years forward and all sorts of things. It's never going to happen. Never going to happen for whatever reason, whether people like their music, smoke or want to go shopping or it's raining. People will always use their cars, a lot of people.
So you'll now look at the strategy again, is that your
plan?
Yeah,
I probably won't be able to change it. There isn't time. There's only 6 months before the next 7 months before the election. But I'm more concerned about the safety issues in there, that we look after those and sort those out.
Well, let's just go back. Your first Comin resignation was in July 2022, after just a few weeks in the role of Enterprise Minister. At the time, you said, I've reached the conclusion that I cannot continue to play an effective part in this Council of Ministers team. What brought you to that conclusion?
So, as I said, when I was elected in 2021, the chief asked me where I wanted to go, and I said DOI. I love the department, and I think it's a great department, and I was more than happy to go in there. And he said, there's no queue for this. You know you're going to get this, basically. And I was happy about that. So I went in there, and then a year later, whatever it was, he phoned me up and said, Tim, can you come and see me? I need to move you. He said, I need to do a reshuffle. In fact, it was when Mr. Ashford resigned at the time. Dr. Allenson went to Treasury, so he wanted somebody to go to DfE. Looks like nobody else would go to DfE. And I said, I would go. Not knowing that Mr. Thomas was coming in, but I said, I would go. And I went there. When I went in there, I then found out that Mr. Thomas was coming in behind me. I love that department, and I didn't want to leave. And actually, I was quite upset that Mr. Thomas was getting the job without me being told. And Mr. Thomas knows that our politics aren't the same.
So a clash of personality, effectively.
Yeah. And I said to the chief, and, I have told Mr. Thomas, since we've had this conversation, I said to Mr. Chief Minister, I'll give it 12 months. I was wrong. It was 13 before Mr. Thomas left.
So you've been brought twice back into DOI. You've been moved on from it twice. So have you been doing a good job as DOI Minister, do you think, in your previous two roles?
I've been trying my hardest. People will tell me I've done a bad job. I mean, you see what happens on social media. I try my best. You know, there's 85,000 professionals out here, Ben, as they say. But actually, we get a lot of good comments, but you'll always get criticism now. And in fact, I was watching Laura Koonsberg yesterday morning. There's a social media sociologist on there, whatever, psychologist. And he was saying, he said, you know, since 2010, everybody's job has changed. But basically in politics, he said, it's become so hard now because everybody's got a comment on it. But actually, we need to take those comments and look at them because there are some good comments in there. Not everybody's giving us a hard time. People, you know, some people are supportive or have good comments.
Now, you clearly love being in the department. That's very, very clear this morning. So if you think you've done a good job, why did you get moved out of the DOI ministerial role, not once but twice by the chief minister? Did he give you any reasons as to why you were moved out of the department?
So the second time was basically the same as the first time. He had a job to fill. And he said, he asked me to go again and go on and do the Minister Without Portfolio and brought Dr. Hayward in. So we're here to do a job. You know, people put us in place to do a job for 5 years. I always say to people, you have to have a really good reason not to do what's asked to you, whether it be asked, to, you know, whether you get asked by the Chief Minister or asked to go on a committee, you have to have a really good reason not to do it. And if you're busy, you're busy. So what? Just get on with it.
We're going to take a short break in just a few moments because we've still got lots of questions to ask you. But just finally, for now, given the number of times you've been in and out of Comin, sitting here right now, what assurance can you give the Isle of Man people you'll see this role through until the end of the administration?
I've got no intention of going anywhere else. I'm here to do a job till the end, till the election. The only reason I'll move somewhere else is if the Chief Minister sacks me.
Now, we're going to come on to some of the questions that our listeners have submitted in a few moments. I just want to pick up on one thing you said a couple of moments ago. We were talking about personality clashes and Mr. Thomas coming into DOI last time. He is now a minister again as well. He's the other person who's gone back into Comin. How are you going to manage that potential difference?
As I said, Chris and I have had conversations. Yeah, we're good friends outside. We'll go for a pint. We do the Viking longboat races together and things. It's just politics, but, you know, as I said, there's a job to do. We've both been asked to do it and we've both said yes. So, yeah, we will try and make that work. His job, yeah, we don't see each other very often during the week. He's doing Treasury, I'm doing DOI. You see each other at council ministers' meetings and on the day in Keys or Timwell. But otherwise, we get on with the stuff. But we're not the best of friends, but we're good friends. Yeah.
Well, let's move on to some listener questions now, because as you can imagine, we've had a lot of texts and emails and Facebook messages this morning. So let's go to Carl, first of all, who says, in November 2023, Minister Crewcorg, as the DOI minister, announced that as part of the DOI reform, the patient transport service would move to DHSC and Manx Care. So Carl's question, when is the service going to transfer to Manx Care, or is it not?
I am so sorry this is taking so long to sort out, and that's for the officers that have been trying to sort out. It has been a nightmare, it really has. But hopefully there's a paper coming forward, and I think if it's not this week, it's next week, from DHSC and DOI into the council ministers, and hopefully we'll have this sorted. Trying to sort budgets out has been a nightmare on this one, but hopefully, touch wood, we'll have it sorted out, and the end result will be a better service for all the service users.
Steve says, what will you do differently this time compared to your two previous stints as minister?
That's a hard one because, you know, I am who I am. I think the staff down there know me better and all sorts. You know, we've got 6 months to try and do things, and there will probably be a far more no's this time than, you know, okay. You know, council ministers is a coalition of members, and, you know, you have to sometimes let things go. And that got to the stage where I was, I said, I can't, you know, I have to say no to this, that and the other too many times. So, and that's why I left last time. Down in the departments, you know, sometimes it's like you listen to the officers and stuff and you go with their experience and their training, if you like. But there are some things now that will be no. And, you know, I've had that conversation with one of them at the moment. It will be no, we're not doing that, you know, and we'll have those discussions.
Kath says, when will the department honour the original plans for the horse tram? Here we go. We knew it was going to come up at some point, the horse trams. The original plans to continue them along the promenade. Is that anywhere on your agenda?
It is. Absolutely is. And Dr. Hayward, there was actually a plan drawn up, and there's been a business plan drawn. There was a business plan drawn up when I was there last time. There's been a new one done this time, which I had sight of on Friday. I'm just trying to find out exactly where that is with the officers and things. Hopefully that will come forward and we'll get a decision one way or another from Timwood as soon as possible. As I'm a supporter of it.
Yeah, as minister, do you want to see them go I'm a supporter of the prom? Yeah.
Having said that, originally I voted against it. Again, going back all those years ago, I think it was 2017, I was the only one that voted against it because it's in the wrong place. Why would you put it in the middle of the road, in my view? It should have been on the side. But anyway, we are where we are. As they say, it's a whole expression, isn't it? But we need a decision over it, Ben, very, very quickly to get on with it. So I will be bringing that forward. In fact, there was email conversations going on over the weekend about it with some of my colleagues. And I'll move that on again this week to see if we can get a paper to Tim Wood as soon as possible.
Lisa says, when is the work on Balfane roundabout in Ballasalla going to start? I'm beginning to think the bypass is just a glorified access road for the Rep My estate.
It's such a shame, isn't it? We've got this issue with coal tar and there's nothing we can do about it until that issue is sorted. The coal tar that's in the roundabout and some other schemes, we'll be going back into that scheme underground and buried, and we'll get rid of it that way. But we have a lot more coal tar around the island in schemes, so we have to be careful. But the Balfane roundabout one needs doing as soon as possible, but that's a big scheme, and it's obviously, if we miss a certain time of the year, we have to be careful, I think, because you're into the summer months then and all sorts of things. But it needs doing as soon as possible to open up that road and make it better. It needs finishing.
Minister, so many questions to get through this morning. The clock has unfortunately beaten us. I know you're so disappointed. When you've settled into the role, give yourself another few weeks. Would you come and do a man in line with Andy and answer our listener questions again?
Yes, I've just seen Andy in the corridor, and Phil Gorn keeps chasing me as well, wanting to do a chat. So, yeah, we'll do.
Excellent. Well, just before you go, let's just ask you one final question. You mentioned a few moments ago that you have no intention of standing down from this role. Your third time as DOI minister, your fifth ministerial position in this administration. So given the amount of ministerial change over the last 4 years and the fact that you've resigned twice from Comin, how much faith do you have in the Cannon administration?
I think it's, you know, I'll be totally honest with you, I think it's at its weakest point at the moment, even after the changes last week. And they have been accepted, you know, well accepted by some parts of the community. But we've got the budget coming up, and I know some of my colleagues who I've spoken to in the last week or so in Timwood are still not happy. So between now and the end of February with the budget, I think it will be a testing time. But do you know what? If there's a vote of no confidence in the Chief Minister, have a look around who you're going to put in and who's going to work for that person. You'll be very, very hard. You know, a lot of people just won't come into the Council Minister now because it's the time of the administration. They go, you're not getting me in there. No chance. You know, I want the chance of getting back next at the end of the year.
Are you nervous about going in at this point?
What, into the Council?
Yeah.
No. We're here to do a job, Ben, as I said before. Absolutely not. You know, right up to the last day till, you know, the voters vote, you know, we're here to do a job, and I've got no problem with that.
Will you be seeking re-election in September?
I'll have to wait and see. You know, I've had a fiver. If everybody wants to ask me, I'd be a very wealthy guy at the moment, but I won't make up my mind until after Easter. I said between Christmas and Easter, but, you know, too busy to even think about it.
I think you said when we last asked you that, it'd be a very late decision.
A late decision, yeah, yeah. And you know what, it's, you get attached to the job, and I love my job and things, and it's one of those things that, you know, if nobody else comes forward and I was going to stand down, it's like, oh, no, I better stand and just fill that position. Or if somebody comes forward, you go, I don't like them. It's like, you know, but that's not my job. If I decide to retire or if I take ill or whatever it is, then, you know, that's it. I'll walk away from it. And it's not my responsibility. But you still feel responsible for what comes afterwards as well. And so it's strange. It's very addictive. You know, if you love your job, you love it. And I love it at the moment.
Well, DOI Minister Tim Crookall, thank you very much indeed for giving the time this morning, for joining us here in the studio. And we'll talk to you again very soon. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.